She sat, took her first sip of wine. Oh, man, that's good. She bit into the pizza. So's that.
Nobody makes better.
You'd think I'd get tired of pizza, but it's still my favorite thing. Floating on exhaustion, she sighed her way through another bite. Claire said you're clear to load in. How'd the cleaning brigade do?
Good. Really good. Still some to go, but we're heading down to the wire.
I'd walk over, if I could walk that far.
It'll be there tomorrow.
Everybody who came in here today, tonight, from town or nearby, talked about it. You must be so proud. I know how I felt when I was on the wire here, hanging the art, unpacking kitchen equipment. Proud and excited and a little scared. Here's my place. I'm really doing it. I still feel that way sometimes. Not tonight, she said with a weak laugh. But sometimes.
You've got a lot to be proud of here. It's a good place.
I know a lot of people thought your mom was crazy renting the space to me. How was I going to run a restaurant?
He shook his head, thought her skin was pale enough to pass his hand through. The absence of her usual crackling energy made her fatigue seem only more extreme. He'd talk her through the slice of pizza, he decided, so she had some food in her. Then he'd get her upstairs so she could get some sleep.
I never thought she was crazy.
You can do anything you set your mind to.
You always could.
I couldn't be a rock star. I'd set my mind on that.
He remembered her blasting away on a guitar. More enthusiasm than skill, as he recalled.
What were you, 14?
15. I thought my dad was going to faint when I dyed my hair black and got those tattoos.
It's a good thing they were fake ones.
She smiled, sipped more wine. Not all of them.
Oh, yeah? Where?
Hold that thought, he said when his phone rang.
What's up, Rye?
He slid off the stool, listening, answering, looking out the glass door at the lights beaming on the inn. When he clipped the phone to his belt again, turned, he saw Avery sound asleep, her head pillowed on the arms she'd laid on the counter. She'd managed about half the slice of pizza, about half the wine, he noted. He cleaned off the counter, shut down the lights in the closed kitchen, walked back to shut off all but the security lights throughout. And he considered her. He could carry her upstairs. She didn't weigh much. But he wasn't sure how he could carry her and lock up at the same time. Take her up, he thought. Come back and lock up. But when he started to lift her, she jerked up and nearly bashed his face with her shoulder.
What? What is it?
Bedtime. Come on, I'll get you upstairs.
Did I lock up?
Front's locked. I'll get the back.
I'm okay. I've got it.
When she pulled the keys out, he took them. But carrying her now just seemed weird. Instead, he put an arm around her waist, let her sleepwalk beside him.
I just closed my eyes for a minute.
You should keep doing that for the next 8 or 9 hours. He supported her at his side, locked the door behind them.
Heading up, he said,
and pulled her up the stairs to her apartment.
I'm a little foggy.
Thanks for all and whatever.
You're welcome for all and whatever. He unlocked her apartment door, tried not to wince when he saw she'd yet to completely unpack from the move, fully a month before. He set her keys on the table by the door.
You need to lock up behind me.
Okay.
She gave him a smile as she stood swaying with fatigue.
You're so sweet, Owen. I'd pick you.
For what?
My share. Night.
Okay. Lock the door, Avery.
He stood outside, waiting until he heard the lock click in place. Her share of what? He wondered. Then shook his head and went down the stairs to the back lot and his truck. He glanced up at her windows as he got in. He could still smell the lemon she used on her hair, her hands. He smelled it all the way home. Chapter 3 The minute she could break away from the restaurant, Avery bundled into her coat, yanked a ski cap over her hair, and dashed across the street. She spotted the furniture truck in the parking lot and quickened her steps as much in excitement as to get out of the cold. She walked into a buzz of activity. Guys on ladders touching up paint, the thwack of nail guns from the lounge and the dining room, the whirl of a drill. She headed through the front arch, then went, "Oh," when she got to the railing leading up the stairs. Ryder poked his head out of the front door of the dining room. "Do me a favor. Don't go up that way. Luther's working on the rails."
"They're so beautiful," she murmured, trailing a hand over the dark bronze curve.
"Yeah, they are. He's spread out on the stairs up there, and he's too polite to tell you to go around the other way. I'm not."
"No problem." She eased toward the dining room door, looked up. "God, it's gorgeous. Look at those lights."
"Bitching heavy." But he looked up as well at the big acorn globes with their oak leaf branches. "They look good."
"They look amazing. And the sconces, too. I can't poke my nose in for a few days and look what happens. I don't have much time, but I want to see everything. Is Hope around?"
"Probably up on 3, fussing with furniture."
"Furniture?"
With a whoop, Avery ran back toward the lobby and out. Breath puffing in clouds, she ran up 2 flights of stairs. She opened the door of Wesley and Buttercup, stood for a moment just grinning at the simmering fireplace in the wall, the dark slats of window blinds. She wanted to explore, to look at every detail, but she wanted people more. She rushed down to the porch door, hurried through, following voices to the penthouse. Her mouth dropped open. Justine and Hope angled 2 occasional chairs covered in silky fabric. The blues and golds in the pattern picked up the rich dark gold of the elaborate sofa where Carolee fussed with throw pillows.
"I think we should..." "Avery!"
Justine straightened.
"Walk through to the window. I want to check the traffic flow. I'm rooted to the spot. My God, Justine, it's gorgeous. But does it work? I don't want guests bumping into chairs or having to wind and scoot. Pretend you just checked in, and now you want to walk through. Look out the window on St. Paul." "Okay."
She held up her hands, closed her eyes a moment.
"Well, Alphonse, I suppose this will do for the night."
"Alphonse?" Hope commented.
"My lover, we're just in from Paris."
She strolled across the room, put a snooty look on her face as she glanced out the window. The look broke into a grin as she turned back, danced in place.
"It's spectacular, and no bumping or winding. Are you actually going to let people sit on this furniture?"
"That's what it's for." Avery ran her fingers over the rolled arm of the sofa.
"You know, they're going to do more than sit. Just saying. Some things I don't need to think about. I want a little lamp for this chest. Something slim with a sparkly shade."
"I saw one at Bast," Hope told her. "I think it would work."
"Make a note, okay? One of us will run down, grab some accent pieces, and try them out."
"It's stunning," Avery said.
"Just as it is."
"You ain't seen nothing yet," Hope winked at her. "Bring Alphonse into the bedroom."
"His favorite place? The man's a machine."
She followed Hope back, would have detoured into the bath, but Hope grabbed her arm. "This first." And Hope beamed like a new mother at Avery's gasp.
"The bed. I saw the cut sheet, but that's nothing compared to the real thing."
"I love the carving." Hope trailed her fingers over one of the tall posts. "And with the bedding, it really looks plush. I swear Carolee fussed with the duvet and shams, the bedroll, for an hour."
"I love it. The oatmeal of the shams against the white bedding and the throw? Cashmere. Just a nice touch. I'll say, the tables, the lamps, and this dresser? The subtle gold sheen really works in here. I want to finish the whole space up by tonight. The journal, the books, the DVD, all the little details. We need photos for the website. I love the plush little stools and pillows at the foot of the bed. Everything in here says luxury. Even Alphonse would be impressed. And God knows he's not easy to impress. The Basque crew just left. They're bringing in Wesley and Buttercup next. It's a job and a half getting these pieces up the stairs. I'm glad it's not mine. I can't stay long now. But Dave's back this afternoon, so I'm not working tonight. I can help. You're hired. I thought I'd bring a few of my things over, things I don't absolutely need for now. We have to start on the art, too, and I've got my eye on a few pieces from gifts. It's really happening. I need your menu for the room folders. I'll get them for you. She wandered out into the bath.
You put stuff out! Soap dishes, the shampoo and stuff, the little dishes.
Photographs, or that's my excuse. We really wanted to see it dressed. I'm going to put out the towels, hang the robes. Ryder's going to take the photos. Apparently he's good at it.
He is, Avery confirmed.
I've still got a shot he took of me and Owen when we were teenagers. It's nice. Fun. Do you know he came over and waited and bussed tables last night?
Ryder?
No, Owen. Then he had to all but carry me upstairs. Two doubles, a bus tour, a spur-of-the-moment high school chorus party, a temporary glitch with the computer, and so on. I was like a zombie by closing.
He's a sweetheart.
Yeah, most of the time.
So's Beckett.
What happened to Ryder?
Avery laughed, circling a finger around the rim of one of the oval vessel sinks.
Oh, he's got some sweet in there. You just have to dig it out.
I think it'd require explosives.
But he does good work. We can dress the place, but it wouldn't hold up without the frame. And he's hell on details, so I respect that. Anyway, I've got to get back to it.
Me too. I should be able to knock off about 4, 5 latest. I'll pitch in.
Rumor is we should be able to start loading in the library sometime today, at least the shelves. And possibly Elizabeth and Darcy.
I'll be here.
Hope!
After a quick bounce, Avery tossed her arms around Hope, bounced again.
I'm so happy for you.
I'll see you later. Avery hurried out, trotted down the steps just as Owen came through the gate between the proposed bakery and the inn courtyard.
Hey!
She called out.
Hey yourself!
Clipboard in hand, he crossed to her.
You look better.
Then what?
The Walking Dead?
She punched him lightly in the stomach.
I'd put something behind that, but I owe you. I forgot to ask how you made out in tips.
Not bad. Pulled in about 25.
Instinctively, he reached out to button her coat.
Just tell me Franny and Dave are back.
Dave, yes, or he will be right about now. Franny, no. She's better, but I want her to take another day. I just had my eyes dazzled by the penthouse. Jesus, Owen, it rocks.
I haven't gotten up there. He glanced up. What's in?
All of it. Parlor, bedroom. They're bringing in W&B now. Or soon. I'm coming over later, getting in on the action. Are you going to be around?
It's looking like one or all of us will be around pretty much round the clock until it's done.
Then I'll see you.
But she backed up with him when the furniture truck turned in.
Oh, I want to stay. Damn needing to make a living wage.
You can't stand here in the cold anyway.
He took her hands, rubbed them.
Where are your gloves?
In my pocket.
I think they work better if you wear them.
Maybe, but then I wouldn't get a hand rub. Boosting onto her toes, she gave him a loud kiss on the cheek.
Gotta go. Be back later,
she said, and zipped away at a lope.
She moved fast, he thought. Then again, she always had.
He'd always wondered why she hadn't run track instead of cheering. When he'd asked, as he recalled, she'd rolled her eyes at him. Cuter uniforms. He had to admit, she'd looked damn cute in her cheerleading gear. He wondered if she still had it. He wondered if he should be thinking about Avery in her cheerleader uniform. Then he wondered why the hell he was standing out in the cold wondering about anything. He went inside, and work took over. The hours flew, and by the time the crew knocked off, Owen was ready for a beer. But his mother wasn't. Instead of hoisting a cold one, he hoisted boxes full of books up the steps of the inn. Justine stood at the top of the steps, a rag in one of the hands fisted on her hips.
"Take those right into the library. The girls are in there, polishing up the bookshelves. Carolee and I are back in Nick and Nora."
"Yes'm." Puffing some, he trudged up. Ryder behind him with another load, Beckett bringing up the rear. "A lot of damn books," Ryder muttered when his mother was out of earshot.
"A lot of damn shelves to fill,"
Owen commented. The library smelled of polish and perfume. Avery stood on a step stool at the far end, shining up the top shelves of one of the bookcases that flanked the hearth and mantel. He and his brothers had built all of it in the family shop. He remembered the work that had gone into it. The cutting, the sanding, the gluing, the staining. A lot of effort, he thought now. And a lot of satisfaction. More satisfaction now seeing that wood gleam under the polishing rags.
"Looking fine, ladies,"
Beckett said as he set down his load. He wrapped his arms around Claire, pulled her back against him to nuzzle her neck. "Hi there."
"Which one are you?"
She turned her head, laughed.
"Oh, yeah. Mine."
"No making out till we're finished."
Ryder jerked a thumb back toward the doorway.
"We've got another load."
"There are two boxes in J&R,"
crouched. Hope polished the doors below the shelves.
"They're marked library shelves."
"I'm done with my section,"
Avery hopped off the stool.
"I'll get one of them. Give me a hand?"
she asked Owen.
"Sure."
When they reached the room, Avery noted that the stacks of boxes had diminished, and it looked as though they'd been reorganized.
"You're cutting it down. Did you restack what's left?"
"It's easier to find things that way."
"You should come organize my apartment. Maybe then I'd find the purple scarf I bought at Gifts last month."
"It might help if you unpacked first."
"I mostly have,"
he reserved comment.
"Library's over here."
He moved around stacks to a corner by the bath.
"What are you going to do with your time when this place is finished?"
she asked him.
"You mean other than working on the bakery building, Beck's house, maintaining the rentals, starting the kitchen rehab for Lynn Barney?"
"Lynn Barney's redoing her kitchen? I didn't know that."
"You don't know everything."
"I know most things. People talk over pizza and pasta."
She reached down for a box marked Library Shelves in Hope's clear, bold print.
"That's too heavy. Take this one."
"What about the space under Hope's apartment? Her temporary apartment?"
"We'll figure it out. One step at a time."
"Sometimes I like taking lots of steps at a time."
"That's how you trip."
He shifted his box, propped open the door with his hip.
"But you get where you're going faster."
"Not if you trip."
He shut the door behind them.
"I've got good balance." "It's a great space,"
she added, as he went through the same procedure with the porch door.
"Bakery and Beck first. The building's not going anywhere."
She wanted to argue. Why have an empty space on Main if you could fill it? But she tracked her eyes toward Nick and Nora and Justine's voice. Probably better to go straight to the top on this one, she decided. In the library, she sorted through boxes with Hope and Claire, arranging books and trinkets on the shelves. Romances, mysteries, local history, classics. A collection of old bottles, an old model car that had been Owen's father's, iron candle stands made by her father.
"I thought we had tons," Hope commented. I wondered if we had too much. But we need more. I've got some things at the bookstore, and there's always something at gifts. We're going to put the tray with a whiskey decanter and glasses there, on that bottom shelf. Standing back, Hope surveyed. But yes, a few more little things. We're good on books. You did a great job on them, Claire. It was a fun assignment for me. You know what it needs? Avery leaned against the far wall. We should have the crew out on the front porch, take a picture. Frame it, set it in here. The In Boonesboro crew. Perfect. Fabulous idea. And when we get the furniture, the art...
Hope glanced around.
The desk there in front of the window, with a laptop for guests. The big leather guest book. The amazing leather sofa, the chairs, the lamps.
I'll get Justine and Carolee, Claire began. See what they think.
But as she started out, war whoops echoed up the stairs.
Oh, sounds like my boys have invaded. I told Alva Ridenour I'd come get them, bring them in for pizza. Looks like she decided to bring them to me.
What sounded like a herd of stampeding buffalo thundered up the stairs. The women walked out in time to see Claire's three sons charge down the hall.
Mom! Mrs. Ridenour said she and her husband wanted pizza, too. We got to come see the hotel.
Harry, her eldest, flung himself at her for a hug, then started to race by.
Hold it, hold it!
Claire grabbed his hand, managed to wrap an arm around her middle child as Liam hugged her legs. After giving Harry's hand a squeeze, she hefted Murphy, her youngest, onto her hip.
Hi!
Murphy gave his mother a wet kiss.
We did homework and had a snack and played Ben Dominoes and fed Ben and Yoda, and Mr. Ridenour said we can each have $2 to play Megatouch because we behaved.
That's good to hear.
We want to see the hotel, Liam tipped his head up. So does Mrs. Ridenour and Mr. Ridenour. Can we go, Mom? Can we go see?
No running, no touching.
She tousled Liam's already tousled golden brown waves.
I thought I heard the troops. Gran!
As one, the boys surged forward to surround Justine. She hunkered down, gathered them in, and beamed up at Claire.
Oh, I'm Gran.
She gave each boy an sounding kiss on the cheeks. That's the best ever.
Can we see your hotel, Gran?
Murphy used his angel smile and big brown eyes.
Please? We won't touch anything.
You bet.
How about we start at the top?
Beckett rounded the stairs, took Claire's hand. Rise down, showing off the dining room to the Ridenours. They'll head up in a minute.
Will you come, Gran?
Harry tugged Justine's hand.
We want you to come with us.
Couldn't keep me away.
Beckett says we get to stay here when it's all finished.
Liam grabbed Justine's other hand as Murphy held up his arms to Beckett.
And we can sleep in one of the big beds. Are you going to stay too?
That's the plan. First night, we're all going to stay.
As they headed to the third floor, Avery leaned in to Owen.
Isn't that the nicest picture? Isn't that really, really beautiful? Claire and the boys, Claire and Beckett. Claire and Beckett and the boys, your mom with all of them.
She sniffled a little, laid a hand on her heart.
It gets me.
Takes the pressure off me and Rye.
I'm joking, he said when she narrowed her damp eyes.
Mom's crazy about those kids.
Lucky kids. They have three grandmothers now.
My dad would have loved them.
I know.
With a tug on her heart, she rubbed his back.
He was always great with kids. I remember those cookouts at your place, how he'd run around with us. I was nuts about him. Anytime he came over to hang out with my dad, he was always, "Hey there, Red, what's the word?"
She let out a sigh.
Looks like I'm sentimental tonight. Come on, take a look at what we've done in the library.
Dad thought of you like one of his.
Oh, Owen.
He did.
Your dad was like his brother. So you were one of us. He always told me to keep an eye out for you.
He did not.
Yeah, he did.
He gave her stubby, coppery ponytail a gentle yank before he stepped into the library.
Wow. Nice job. And quick work.
It was all organized, she said and laughed. As you well know. It needs some filling in, and I had this idea about taking a photo of the crew on the front porch. We could frame it, put it here. It's part of the history of the place now.
You're right. We'll set it up.
I can take it, especially if I can talk Ryder into letting me use his camera. Let me know when everybody can do it, and I'll be here.
Where's Hope? She wondered. She went into Nick and Nora with Kara Lee, probably finishing up in there.
She'll never finish unless somebody makes her. Go make her. She gave Owen a nudge. Tell her she should come over for dinner, and Kara Lee, too. You and Rye are probably ready for a beer and some food.
I've been ready.
Go get her going, then. She'll listen to you. I'd better run over and warn my crew we're having a party of many coming in. I'll see if I can take over the back room for you.
Us. You've got to eat.
Amused, she angled her head.
Keeping your eye out for me?
I'm an obedient son.
When it suits you. See you over there.
They separated. But as she passed Elizabeth and Darcy, Avery heard voices. Assuming part of the tour had stopped at that point, she eased open the door. There was Murphy in the empty room, standing by the open door of the porch, chattering away. To no one.
Murph? Hi! Hi, baby. It's cold out. You can't open the doors.
I didn't. I didn't touch anything. She likes to go out so she can see.
Cautious, Avery crossed to the door, hunched against the cold as she looked up and down the porch.
Who likes to go out?
The lady. She says I can call her Lizzie like Beckett does.
Oh.
Avery felt a chill now that had nothing to do with the open door.
Oh, boy. Is she here now?
Right out there by the rail,
he pointed.
She said not to come out 'cause my mom would worry.
She's got that right.
She's waiting.
She is? For what?
For Billy. Are we gonna get pizza now?
Yeah, in a minute.
Avery jumped like a rabbit when the door opened from the hall. Then she laughed, weakly, when Owen stared at her.
We're just... I don't know. Murphy, I hear your mom and Beck upstairs. You go on up, okay? And promise me you'll stay right with them.
Okay. I just wanted to see Lizzie. She likes to have somebody to talk to. Bye!
Holy shit,
Avery said when he scrambled out.
I heard people, and I mean people, talking, so I opened the door. All I saw was Murphy and the open door, but he said the lady, Lizzie, is standing out there by the rail. He sees her, and he talks to her. I heard voices, Owen, not just a voice, and...
Slow down. Take a breath.
He came in, shut the porch door.
But she's out there. Shouldn't you wait until she comes back in?
I think she can handle it.
And maybe she is back in.
Wide-eyed, Avery leaned back on the door.
That is so... so cool!
Murphy Brewster, Ghost Whisperer. He said she's waiting for somebody named Billy. I have got to stay in this room.
Maybe I'd have a close encounter. Except that's aliens, isn't it?
Wow.
This time, Owen set his hands on her shoulders. She revved like an engine. Now take another breath.
I'm okay. It's exciting and a little unnerving, but in a really cool way. Why are you so calm?
You sucked in all the excitement. Waiting for Billy?
That's what Murphy said, and he seems to have a direct line. Maybe Billy's her husband, or lover.
Husbands are generally lovers.
You know what I mean. And she's been waiting for him here all these years, just waiting for her Billy. Oh, it's so romantic.
Sounds tragic to me.
No, well, yes, but romantic, too. A love that's eternal, that lasts, because they rarely do in reality, right?
I don't know about that, he began, but she was still bubbling over.
It holds her here because this love is powerful. It's magic. It's what matters most. It's...
The door at her back pushed open, knocking her forward and straight into Owen. His arms came tight around to balance her as she tipped back her head, looked up into his eyes.
Everything,
she finished. He didn't speak. They stood there, bodies pressed with the open door at her back, and the sound of running and laughter streaming down the hall outside the room. He thought, what the hell? What the hell? And his mouth was on hers, and her fingers dived into his hair. Hot and bright. It's how he thought of her. How the kiss struck him now. Hot and bright. Full of light and energy. Of Avery. Everything went frantic, breathless, with a sharp grinding need in his center, a heated rush under his skin. He lost track of everything else, everything beyond the taste and movement of her, the demands of her mouth, the scent of lemons and of honeysuckle. She balanced on her toes, clamped against him like a vice, while the thrill and wonder ran a river through her. She let it rage. A fast, tumultuous ride that swept her toward the unknown, even as it trapped her in the moment. He broke away first, stared down at her like a man coming out of a trance.
What was that? What was that?
I don't know.
And wasn't sure she cared, not when his arms tightened around her again. She held that shimmering instant, leaned in. Someone banged on the door.
Owen? Avery? Beckett called out. What's going on? Unlock the damn door.
Hold on.
Carefully, Owen released Avery.
Hold on,
he repeated to her this time. Catching his breath, he crossed to the door. It opened smoothly.
What the hell?
Beckett demanded, then tracked his gaze to the open porch door.
Oh.
It's nothing. It's okay. I'll take care of it.
Murphy said you and Avery were in here. Beckett glanced over his shoulder to make sure the kids weren't close by. Are you all right?
Yeah, all good. We're, going for pizza.
Right. Make sure that door's shut.
I've got it.
Quietly, Avery shut the porch door, turned the latch.
Good enough. I'll see you at Vesta.
Beckett gave them both one last look before he walked away. Staring at Avery, Owen stood where he was, one hand on the knob of the open door.
I guess that was weird, she began. Was that weird?
I don't know.
I guess all that talk about romance and love, it just triggered whatever.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
She took a long breath. Crossed to him.
I don't want it to be weird.
Okay.
We should probably get out of here. This room, I mean.
Okay.
I'm going over to give Dave a hand.
Okay.
She punched him in the chest.
Is that all you can say? Okay, okay, okay?
Right now it seems safest.
Safest my ass.
She let out a long breath again.
It's not going to be weird. And don't say okay.
She sailed away and down the stairs.
Okay,
he said under his breath. He closed the door. When he stepped away, he thought he heard the whisper of female laughter behind it.
Yeah, some joke,
he muttered. Stuffing his hands in his pockets, he scowled his way downstairs. Chapter 4 The cold gripped winter in a breathless, frigid stranglehold. Under the harsh blue skies, every breath of air blew bitter. Another hard frost slipped the courtyard pavers as Owen trooped up the outside stairs with Beckett and Ryder.
I don't want to hear about any changes, flourishes, or what-ifs, Ryder muttered.
Let's just take a look at this, Beckett led the way into Jane and Rochester.
Hell of a lot of boxes yet.
Ryder stuffed his hands in his pockets.
Looks like Mom bought enough lamps to light half the town.
We might as well take down what we can for N&N when we go back. Owen gestured to the appropriate area.
What's the problem in here, Beck?
I don't know if there is one, but it's about the only private spot in the building right now. And we've been surrounded since last night. Plus, you took off from Avery's before I could corner you. Now, what the hell happened with Elizabeth?
For Christ's sake.
Ryder pulled off his cap, dragged his fingers through his dense, dark brown hair.
You brought us up here to talk ghosts?
Murphy was in that room, Beckett reminded him. Alone, hall door shut, porch door open. He just turned goddamn 6. Claire's not so freaked by Lizzie anymore. If it hadn't been for Lizzie writing in the steam on the bathroom mirror down there, however she managed to pull that off, to warn us, we might not have gotten there in time when Fremont went after Claire. Still, Murphy's just a little boy.
Okay. Ryder stuck his cap back on. Okay, you're right about that. But this whole ghost thing's irritating.
Park benches are irritating to you in some moods.
Depends on whether or not I want to sit down.
Beckett just shook his head.
We got most of it out of Murphy. The kid's got no off button. He decided to go pay her a visit and went on in. He told her about school, about the pups. She asked after his family.
So Murph the Smurf had a social conversation with a ghost? Ryder commented. He needs his own TV show. Murph, host for ghosts.
Funny, Beckett said dryly. She went outside, but told him not to come out, that his mother wouldn't like it, she'd worry. And she told him she liked to stand out there, how she was waiting for Billy. Now that the inn was being fixed, and there were lights and people, she thought he'd be able to find her easier.
Billy who? Ryder asked.
Exactly. Murphy didn't get that part.
Why are you looking at me? Owen demanded. I wasn't in on any of that. When I went in, Avery was already there, and she had Murphy. We sent him up to Claire so she wouldn't worry.
Yeah. Then he chatted away about Lizzie, about you and Avery being in there. And I couldn't get the door open. It wouldn't budge.
So she was playing games.
Owen shrugged, trying for casual, ending with a jerk.
It's not the first time.
Won't be the last, Ryder muttered.
No, not the first or the last, Beckett agreed. But when you opened the door from the inside, you looked like somebody knocked you stupid with a blunt object. I want to know what happened between the time you sent Murphy out and when you opened up.
Nothing especially.
Bullshit. Ryder let out a snort. You can't lie worth dick. And if it was nothing especially, why were you all broody over at Vesta, like a hen on a nest of cracked eggs? Then you made noises about paperwork and took off.
Grinning now, Ryder nodded at Beckett.
It was something, especially.
Cough it up, Owen, Beckett told him.
Fine. Fine. Avery filled me in on what Murphy told her. She's all excited and dreamy. The ghost deal, the waiting for Billy thing, like it's a made-for-TV movie. Romantic love beyond the grave, all that stuff. You know how Avery can get on a theme.
Not really, Ryder shrugged. I've never had a romantic, love-beyond-the-grave conversation with Avery.
You? He asked Beckett.
Not as I recall. Then again, Owen was her first boyfriend.
Cut it out.
Caught between embarrassment and annoyance, Owen shuffled his feet.
She was like 5, maybe 6. Like Murphy's age.
Jesus.
She said she was going to marry you,
Beckett reminded him, snorting along with Ryder now.
And you'd have 3 dogs, 2 cats, and 5 babies. Or maybe it was 3 babies and 5 dogs.
You got her a ring, bro.
Trapped, Owen bared his teeth at Ryder.
Out of a frigging gumball machine. Just playing around. I was a kid, too, for Christ's sake.
Kissed her. Right on the mouth, Beckett remembered.
It just happened. That honeysuckle-smelling, short-tempered ghost of yours shoved the porch door back open when Avery was leaning against it. The next thing I know, she's wrapped around me and...
Brows lifted. Beckett angled his head as he studied Owen's face.
I was talking about when she was 5.
Oh.
But bring us up to date, Ryder insisted. You laid one on the little red machine?
It just happened, he insisted. The door knocked her into me.
Yeah, any time a woman trips, I'm all over them.
Suck me,
Owen said to Ryder. Must have been a hell of a just-happened lip lock, Beckett speculated, considering how you looked when you unlocked the door.
I didn't unlock the door because it wasn't locked. She did it.
Red?
No, not Avery. Elizabeth.
Then she laughed.
Avery?
No!
Close to tearing out his hair, Owen paced between stacks of boxes.
Elizabeth! After Avery got pissed and left, I heard her laughing.
Avery got pissed because you kissed her? Beckett asked.
No.
Maybe.
How the hell do I know what pisses a woman off?
Frustration rippled over him in waves.
Nobody knows, because it can be any damn thing. It's an unsolved mystery. And the next day, that any damn thing is fine, and it's some other damn thing. No man knows,
Owen said darkly.
He ain't wrong, Ryder commented. So, back up.
Ryder hooked his thumbs in his pockets.
Did she kiss you back? Men know that one, pal.
Yeah, she kissed me back.
Like, reflex or bring it on?
She was in it, Owen muttered. It wasn't some friendly peck.
Tongues?
Jesus, Rye.
You're not the only one who appreciates details.
Ryder nodded at Beckett.
Definitely tongues involved.
I said she was in it, didn't I? Then Beck's banging on the door, and it's all surreal. She didn't want it to be weird, you know? So I said okay. She said she was going to go give Dave a hand, and I said, okay.
You're a moron.
In pity, Ryder shook his head.
You're supposed to be the smart one. You're the smart one, Beckett's the nice one, I'm the good-looking one. And you're a moron. You just fucked the curve, dude.
Why? Why am I a moron?
Beckett raised his hand.
I got this. You kiss a woman till your eyes roll back in your head, and if your information is correct, she's just as in it as you. Then all you can say when she's obviously probing for what it meant is, okay? You're a moron.
She didn't want it to be weird. I was trying not to make it weird.
You get a shove from a dead woman and end up tangling tongues with an old girlfriend, and the ghost blocks the exit? That's fucking weird,
Ryder concluded.
She's not an old girlfriend. She was 5.
Companionably now, Ryder laid a hand on Owen's shoulder.
Women never forget. You don't want it to be weirder than it is now. You have to talk to her about it. You poor bastard.
Avery was right,
Beckett speculated. Lizzie's a romantic. The first time I kissed Claire was in this building. And after, I figured Lizzie maneuvered it. At least some of it.
Then you talk to her, Owen insisted. Tell her to back off.
Kissing Red must have killed off some of your brain cells, Ryder decided. You can tell a woman what to do, if you play it right, and maybe, maybe half the time she'd do it, or something close to it. That's a live woman. A dead one? I figure that's closer to 0.
Crap.
Better talk to Avery, Beckett advised.
And do it soon.
Do it right.
Crap.
So now that we've had our heart-to-heart, ladies, let's get the hell back to work.
Ryder walked to the door, opened it.
We've got an end to finish.
He couldn't avoid her. Not that he wanted to.
Exactly.
But he couldn't, not between punch-out, load-in, cleaning, food breaks. In the normal course of things, he saw Avery at least once a week. Since work began on the inn, it was pretty much daily. And now with that work coming down the stretch, they tended to cross paths multiple times a day. But because he wasn't a moron, none of those times included the sort of privacy he knew the conversation they needed to have required. Even if he could find a spot where a half a dozen people weren't moving through, by, or around, he got interrupted every 10 minutes. So he did what he decided was the next best thing. He acted as if nothing had happened. He talked to her, carted boxes for her, ordered food from her, just like normal over the next couple of days. Since she behaved exactly the same way, he figured, problem solved. For his last chore of the day, hopefully of the week, he thought, he carried a box of light bulbs into Nick and Nora. He intended to work his way through the finished rooms, assembling lamps, screwing in the correct bulbs. He hesitated only a moment when he saw Avery hanging glass drops on a floor lamp. She glanced his way.
"Some assembly required," she said.
"Looks good.
I'm hanging these my way. I like it better than the way they have it in the diagram. Justine said she did, too."
"Works for me."
He noted that the stacked glass ball lamps beside the panel bed had already been assembled.
"I'm lamp girl this evening," she told him.
He started to make a joke about being light bulb boy, but thought better of it. Damn it. It was weird.
"I'm the man with the bulbs, so let there be light."
He took a bulb out of the box.
"Listen, Avery."
"Look,"
Hope dashed in, still wearing her coat and scarf.
"Isn't this fabulous?"
She carried a deco-style statue of a man and a woman.
"It's great! It's Nick and Nora Charles."
Avery shifted to admire it.
"The amazing people at Bast gave it to us." "Aw, now I love it even more. It's just perfect."
After a moment's scan, Hope set it on the corner of the carved heater cover Owen had built.
"Just perfect. I love that floor lamp. A little glimmer, a lot of glamour and style. Oh, when you're done there, Avery, maybe you can give us an opinion out in J&R. Owen, we're trying to decide on your grandmother's crocheted pieces. The ones your mother had matted and framed. They're so beautiful. She was an artist. If she'd had enough thread, she could have crocheted the Taj Mahal. I believe it. We've narrowed it down to 2 spots. We need another eye, Avery."
"You can have mine. That's the last drop, thank God." She stepped back, nodded.
"Excellent. Come on down, then. We have to decide. Then that's it for tonight."
"Good, because I need to run over and take care of a couple of things."
"After you do, come to my place," Hope told her. "Claire's parents have the kids tonight, and Beckett's got a dinner meeting with a client. We'll have some wine, and I'll cook something."
"I'm in. 2 minutes here?"
As Hope went out, Avery crouched to gather up the packaging from the lamp.
"They're even prettier lit," she commented when Owen tested the lamps.
"Yeah. So, Avery, are we okay?"
After a humming beat of silence, she flicked him a glance.
"There's that word again."
"Come on, Avery."
Still crouched, she gave him a long, steady stare from under her arched eyebrows.
"I'm okay. Are you okay?"
"Yeah, it's just..."
"Sounds like we're okay. It wasn't my first kiss, Owen."
"No, but not even my first with you."
He shifted the box of bulbs to his other hip.
"That was..."
"So, no problem here."
"No problem," he agreed, but thought it felt like one. "I'll get that stuff. We've got a load to take out anyway."
"Good enough," she started out. "Oh, if you have time, maybe you can hang the mirror, that starburst deal there." Hope marked the spot on the wall.
"Sure.
Have a good weekend if I don't see you."
"Yeah, you too."
He frowned at the cardboard, frowned at the mirror, frowned at the empty doorway. "Shit," he muttered, and went out for his drill.
"Are we okay?"
Avery gestured with her wine glass.
"Jerk."
In Hope's living room, curled on the sofa, Claire smiled at her friend. "He just doesn't know how to handle it." Far from ready to cut him a break, Avery huffed. "He didn't have any problem handling me the other night. Beckett got awkward and a little jerky with me after we almost kissed the first time. Maybe it's a Montgomery Brothers trait."
"Once you had, he wasn't awkward."
"True." Claire's smile warmed. "Very true. Still, given your history..."
"History, schmystery."
"What history?" Hope carried a tray of fruit and cheese out of her little kitchen. "I haven't had the opportunity to get all the details on this. Ghostly nudges, hot kiss, lame Owen, aftermath."
"That sums it."
"History? Is this more than knowing each other forever? Claire and Beckett knew each other for years before they got together." "I was with Clint," Claire reminded her. "We were a couple from the start. So I didn't have any history other than casual friendship with Beckett." "And you had more with Owen?" Hope probed. "What have I missed?" "They were engaged." Grinning now, Claire toasted Avery.
"What?"
Hope's dark chocolate eyes rounded with shock.
"When? Why didn't I know this? This is huge."
"We were kids. I think I was 5, almost 6. Our fathers were tight, so we had a lot of activities together. I had a crush on him."
"So she proposed to him. Or more, she announced they were going to get married when they grew up." "Aw, that's so cute."
Softening a little, Avery shrugged.
"It was probably a major embarrassment for him. I guess he was about 8. But he was nice about it. Patient."
She remembered, softening a bit more. "I crushed on him for a couple of years."
"That's a long time at that age," Hope pointed out. "I tend to dig in. Then he started hanging out with Kirby Anderson."
The softening process halted as her eyes went flinty. "That 10-year-old slut. Owen Montgomery broke my heart with that boyfriend-stealing bimbo."
"I should point out for Hope that Kirby Anderson is now married, the mother of 2, and an environmental activist living in Arlington, Virginia."
"She grew out of it," Avery shrugged.
"But there can still be slutitude in there. Dormant. Anyway, after that I was off boys until I hit puberty."
"But you forgave Owen," Hope prompted.
"Sure. I refused to pine. Besides, a girl's first boyfriend isn't going to be her last, right?"
After gesturing, she cut a slice of Gouda and nipped into it.
"Especially when he's an ass."
"Don't be too hard on him," Claire reached over, patted Avery's hand.
"He's probably flustered, not sure how to act. You know you mean a lot to him, to all of them."
"Yeah, yeah," but she sighed.
"It was a damn fine kiss. He's learned a lot since 8. Or I've learned. We both have.
I wouldn't mind kissing him again."
"Really?"
Hope drew out the word as she sampled an apple slice.
"Sure. What am I, stupid? He's a damn fine kisser, as I now know. And he's really pretty."
"Would you sleep with him?" Hope wondered. Considering, Avery reached forward, snagged a tart green grape.
"We're both currently unattached. Both adults."
"Maybe."
"Yeah, maybe. As long as we went into it clear-eyed. You can trust Owen. That's a big one. Knowing you're with somebody you can trust."
She bit into the grape, grinned.
"And who's really pretty?" "Listening to all this, I'm glad I'm out of the arena."
Content, Hope slid down in the chair with her wine.
"You won't stay out," Avery shook her head. "You're gorgeous, smart, interesting, and human."
"I'm not interested in dating right now. Not just because of Jonathan. In fact, now that I think about it, not at all because of that dick. Right now, all I want is to focus on the inn, on being the world's best innkeeper, and keeping that beautiful place perfect.
Men? Dating? Sex?
Just not currently on the radar."
Careful, Claire warned. Best laid plans.
But I excel at planning. Owen didn't sleep well, which he considered a pisser. He always slept well. He thought of it as a skill, like carpentry or adding up columns of numbers in his head. But instead of dropping off after a full day of work, a sweaty hour-long workout, a relaxing soak in his hot tub, he'd slept in fits and starts. He'd promised himself no work over the weekend. But when a man climbed out of bed before sunrise, what the hell was he supposed to do with himself all day? His house was in order. It generally was, but with the push on the inn over the last couple of weeks, he'd barely done more than sleep there. Even he couldn't find anything to fuss over. He and Beckett had designed the house, a couple of stone's throws from his mother's, from Ryder's, from the home Beckett was finally finishing. He liked being close to family, and still solitary and private on his wooded lot. The space suited him and his efficient nature with its open kitchen and dining room serving as great room and entertainment area when he had anybody over. To the left, the laundry and utility room served the added purpose of mudroom. He believed in multitasking, even for houses. Now wearing only loose flannel pants, he stood at the atrium doors leading out to his wide, paved patio, drinking coffee ground and brewed in the sleek and efficient machine he'd treated himself to on his last birthday. Ryder called it Hilda, claiming anything that shiny and complicated had to be female. Generally, that first good, strong cup of coffee pleased him, perked him up for the day ahead. But right at the moment, it did nothing to cut through his irritability. She was the one being weird, he told himself, as he had countless times during the restless night. She'd said she didn't want things to be weird. Then she acted weird, trying to make him feel guilty, he decided, when he didn't have anything to feel guilty about. It was all just stupid, and he needed to forget it, because he damn well wasn't losing another night's sleep over it. He thought about breakfast, but didn't feel like cooking. Not that he minded cooking, particularly a weekend breakfast where he could load up on bacon and eggs, sit at his counter and play with his iPad. He didn't feel like using his iPad either. And that was just wrong. He always felt like using his iPad. So he'd work after all. He'd put some time in at the shop on the mantel for Beckett's bedroom fireplace. Maybe even get it finished so Beckett could just seal the chestnut. No point in hanging out at home all day if he couldn't enjoy the loafing. Plus, his mother habitually rose early, he thought, as he headed up the central stairs he and his brothers had built. She'd cook him some breakfast, and maybe he could pump her a little, subtly, about Avery. Not that he'd tell his mother the full shot. It was too... okay, weird. But he knew no one who had better insight on people than Justine Montgomery. He turned into his bedroom, switched on the little gas log fireplace built into the mocha-colored wall, and carried his coffee into the bath. Once he'd showered and shaved, he dressed in work clothes and steel-toed boots. He made the bed, smoothing the sheets, drawing the white duvet up, stacking the pillows in their dark brown cases. He took his phone off the charger, hooked it on his belt, took his pocket knife, loose change, wallet out of the tray on his dresser, got a fresh bandana out of the dresser drawer. He stood a moment, frowning at nothing. Too quiet, he realized. His house and grounds were exactly the way he liked them. Work was plentiful and satisfying. But it was just too quiet. Time for a dog, he told himself. Time to seriously think about getting a dog. Maybe a lab mix like his mother's, or a faithful mutt like Ryder's. He promised himself a dog, but with the time and demands of the inn project, he'd postponed the idea. Better to wait till spring, he considered as he started downstairs. Easier to house train a puppy in warmer weather. Or maybe he'd rescue an older dog, if he could get half as lucky as Rye had with Dumbass. He pulled his shop coat out of the closet, pulled on a ski cap, gloves,